Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
The Word, in the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. That was Jesus Christ coming out, his first debut into the Old Testament in this time around in this world as Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abram because it required an anointing, physical anointing, not just a spoken word that God had been speaking into Abram's mind up to this time. Now he met him face to face, and he put his hand on him and he blessed him. We're going to read that one more time in Hebrews chapter 7. Who exactly this Melchizedek is, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually, Jesus Christ. And now we see that he has met him in person on the field returning from this battle, and he's blessed him. And go back to Genesis 14, verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. He says, I'm not going to take a single thing that we have retrieved, because I don't want it said that anyone other than God in heaven has made me wealthy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion. He didn't want anything, he just wanted his people back.
Right.
Chapter 15, book of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Now, the poem you just recited, in the beginning was the word was with God, and God was the word. So right there, that opening sentence that you just read, literally says that it came to him.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. There you go. That's exactly right.
I was Good catch.
And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. God just says, you will have a child of your own body. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Your seed that comes out of your bowels will be numbered as the stars in the heaven. That many.
Just makes me think of the scientific side of procreation from the male perspective, that there's millions of them that, that one makes through or whatever, but,
absolutely.
Into a bunny trail.
Yeah.
It's so neat.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them into the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. So he fell into a deep sleep, and it's not a good one.
Right.
And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years. And it's the prophecy of the captivity of Egypt before Abram really established. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So God had said, I'm going to give you this land of Canaan, all of it that you see, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to send you and your family into captivity in Egypt for a reason. You got to learn some things. You're going to be there 400 years because there are Amorites in this land that I want to give you, and they have not yet crossed the line to be sentenced to destruction. They're close. But in the fourth generation does it come again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So they have not gotten God quite angry enough to do what he needs to do with them. It's a righteous God. He's not just going to sweep you away because he wants to sweep you away. You got to deserve it. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims. There we see the Rephaims again. And the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. God's got to deal with all of those folks while they're in Egypt to clean the land. Now Sarai, chapter 16, here on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could join us. We're on chapter 16, book of Genesis. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, we talked about her just a little while ago, whose name was Hagar. This was actually Pharaoh's daughter. And like I said earlier, when Pharaoh realized the spiritual power of Abram and his God, he sent Hagar with him and said, it's better for you to be a servant in his house than a princess in mine.
Yes.
That's a powerful understanding.
Yes.
And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And what do you think Abram did?
You got to tell me twice.
The wife's she's up in age.
Yep.
And she's got a very young handmaid there, under 30.
Yep.
And she says to old Abe, you don't want to make it with the pretty young thing over there?
What, are you trying to trap me, woman?
And Abram has been told by God a half a dozen times now, I will make the seed, thy seed, of thy body. Well, maybe he confused that a little bit, into a great nation. And Abram says, sure, absolutely.
Yes.
Sarai, that's one of the best suggestions you've ever had.
I knew I married you for a reason.
And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And trouble that we still have today because of this.
Uh-huh. Everybody running around wanting an open relationship.
Well, not just so much that.
Yeah,
this starts a blood feud.
Right.
And Ishmael has been trying Ishmael has been trying to kill Isaac since he was 12, and he's still trying to kill him today.
Yep.
And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife.
There's an expounding on the whole thing about, copulation equaling marriage.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's all it took, all it needed was to sleep with her, and she was his wife. That
throwing rice over shoulder.
The state got involved and required a marriage license because they wanted their $20.
Yes.
God never required you to pay the $20 to get married.
Right.
I mean, jump a broom, okay. There's just they just wanted to put some majesty into it, I guess.
Yep.
And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Okay. There is a whole lot here. We're going to take it real slow. So, Abram has slept with Hagar at Sarah's bequest against God's orders. And now she realizes she's pregnant, so it's been at least a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's keep that timeline here. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. So Hagar thinks she's better than Sarah now. Sarai, not Sarah yet.
Right.
And I can understand that. I can give him a child and you can't. I mean, that was the greatest gift. That was the reason you took a wife, to produce a son.
That's right, further the lineage.
So
lineage,
Hagar is looking at Sarai like, you're insufficient. I'm the woman.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think, and I'm not trying to take my mind here, but like today's time, like how the youth kind of looks at anybody who's over 35 as being like, oh,
yeah,
you're done.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes me feel that way. I'm not quite sure, but.
All right, so back up here to 5 again. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. So she's apologizing to Abram for suggesting that he copulate with the young maid.
Right.
I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. So he says, no, you know what? If she treats you bad, she belongs to you. You do whatever you want to do with her. Okay? You're my wife. You're the most important one to me. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her face. So
that's very vague.
Yes.
Dealt hardly.
Yes. Okay. So Sarai has dealt harshly with Hagar because Hagar despised Sarai after Hagar conceived and Sarai could not. So Hagar's run off into the wilderness. All right, verse 7, chapter 16. Pay attention here. This is a phenomenal thing that's going to happen here. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And this is Hagar that he's found. Okay, we talked about capital letters earlier. Lord, God, angel, capital meaning a Godhead. Okay? Small letter meaning a if it's a small a on the word angel, it is an angel. It's a capital A on the word angel. Now, this only applies to King James Version. It was so perfectly done. And it takes its roots right back to the Hebrew. So this here, small a, and the angel, small a, of the Lord, capital L. All angels belong to the Lord, good or bad. Okay, even the fallen ones are still referred to as an angel of the Lord. So, and the angel, small a, of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. She's sitting out there crying. She's probably six, seven weeks pregnant now. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel, small a, of the Lord, capital L, said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. So he's saying, go back, be pleasant, and apologize. Okay, now look what this angel, small a, says to this girl now. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it should not be numbered for multitude. I. Angels don't say I.
Nope.
Only God says I. Or an angel says God will.
Right.
No angel has the authority under God to say I unless he is contrary to God.
Some kind of corruption.
And there are a third of them out there that are contrary to God. Even though they still belong to God, they're fallen, and they're still called an angel of the Lord. But this angel says, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Okay, so she's 6 or 7 weeks pregnant, and this angel has just instilled in her a spirit inside that body, inside that fetus, has just instilled in her a spirit of a wild man. He says, I will do this. I will put this thing in you. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. These two bloodlines still fight today.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting right now. They just, I mean, they invaded Israel on, was it January 7th? Last year or so?
Oh, October 7th.
October 7th.
Yeah, yeah.
This is still going on today. And it says he will dwell always. He will always dwell among his brethren. The other side. Esau. And not Esau. Isaac. Isaac. And Isaac isn't even born yet. Okay. So this evil angel has done this thing. And if you can read this, you can read this 50 or 60 times and not see that.
Yep.
Until you see that small a on the angel. That one word changes the entire... I read this so many times. Oh, God. Yeah, God's giving her son. Going to call him Ishmael. Yeah. And then it's I seen the small a. And the fact that the angel said, I will do this.
That's right.
No. Angels aren't allowed to do that.
All right, so with that being said, on that, all right, so I just had this whole thing unfold to me too, all right, about this, all right, the way that he presented this to her, all right, he says, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for the multitude.
Yeah.
All right, so the good Lord talked to Abram, and he told Abram that your seed, if they could count the dust of the earth, that you know, that your seed would be beyond
absolutely
a number.
Right. Counterfeit.
Well, this angel came in and literally carbon copy,
counterfeit
the way that he said it to him, and then like even made the same promises.
Yep.
Right. So another thing right before that was Sarai and Hagar and Abram and Hagar. Like so, the Abram and Hagar thing. What I saw with that was the Adam and Eve thing. Was the selection or the choice to eat the forbidden fruit. Like I saw Abram go in against God's word.
Absolutely.
Right, and then immediately,
yes,
she was ejected out of...
And contrary to God's word, Abraham caused all of this.
But again, it's like another carbon copy of the Garden of Eden.
It's the same thing over and over again. And Satan will copy everything that God does. This is a counterfeit of what God has promised Abram already. And Satan thinks he's got to jump on him because he's getting started first.
Yeah, and I see exactly what you're saying about that. Like, you can read through this thing a million times.
And I did. And one day it's like, oh my gosh, the entire thing is different than what it reads. Because you got to read between the lines and look at the capital letters, and you got to take it slow. You read it. I tell you, when you read your Bible, you read it slow, you read it methodically, and you read it out loud. Let your own ears hear it. That reading in your head does not sink in.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration